Hello and welcome to the podcast one for the lecture on local and stochastic search. Today we will talk about how we can search very large search spaces. On slide two you see the agenda of this lecture. We'll talk about specific properties that these large search spaces have, such as local extrema and plateaus, and we look into randomized search strategies. In particular, we'll touch upon various algorithms that use random and stochastic search techniques or local search techniques. On slide three, I summarize the recommended reading for you. This is mostly chapter four that talks about hill climbing, simulated annealing, and genetic algorithms. But this year we will also go a little deeper in one of the biggest successes in search algorithm in artificial intelligence, namely Monte Carlo tree search methods, and in particular the so-called UCT algorithm. So at the bottom of slide three we've also listed some relevant papers for you if you want to read a little bit more. On slide four, I show you one of my own optimization projects. So for the last years, I've been working with a company in Switzerland that produces the machines that you can see on the right of the slide. These machines cut and prepare cables, and then at the end there is a robot arm that takes the cable ends and plugs them into cable harnesses. So with this machine we can automatically manufacture cable trees. Cable trees are used everywhere, in particular many car manufacturers and also the airplane industry are customers using these machines. Most of the cable trees, however, are today manufactured still by hand, but the cables become smaller and smaller, and also the harnesses get miniaturized to save resources, and this makes it increasingly difficult or even impossible to do manual manufacturing. So therefore these machines are of a very big interest to many suppliers working in the car and airplane industry. So in this when we solve such an optimization problem, we have given the description of a cable tree with a number of harnesses and cables, and we have a wiring plan. So you see in the right of this slide, you see how harnesses are attached to a so-called pallet on this machine, and how the cables are plugged into these harnesses, and you can see how narrow and dense this wiring actually is. So this robot arm has to be very careful to not get caught by any cables and really reach the target position. So here we have very modern sensor technology used as well, for example laser scanners and other sensors to validate that the robot has really been able to plug a cable. So if we have given a cable tree, we have in this cable tree n cables, and this also means we have two n faculty potential insertion orders, because each cable has two n's, so this makes the two n, and then of course all possible sequences of these cable ends can be a valid solution. However, of course, we can imagine that there are many constraints on such a problem, so only some of these insertion orders or permutations of the cable ends are in fact valid solutions. However, this problem generates really huge search spaces. So for example, if we only have two cables, then this leads to 24 potential solutions. But if we have 40 cables, which is very, very common, then already we have to deal with a search space of 10 to the power of 120. So for search spaces of this size, there is no chance to systematically or heuristically explore them. One direct impact on the search strategies for such large search spaces is to give up completeness. So on slide five, I introduce the basic of idea of local search. So we start somewhere in the search space, we use an evaluation function for each node, and we move towards better evaluated nodes. Sometimes we simply move elsewhere, so we will also make some random moves. So you can immediately see that such a strategy cannot be complete, but with some clever combination of the techniques that we will learn about today, such local search can indeed find very good solutions. So let's look at the first local search algorithm. It's called hill climbing, but we also find it under the names of steepest ascent search or greedy local search. So here in this problem, we look for a state that is a local maximum. So we try to actually maximize a given cost function. So hill climbing makes some node. Usually it starts in the initial state, and then it loops through a rather simple strategy. So we look at the neighbors of our current node. We apply a valuation function. We select the highest valued neighbor. And then we actually compare the value of this highest valued neighbor with the current node. So if we find a better valued neighbor, we then actually move on to this neighbor. Otherwise, we stay in the current state and the search terminates. So very obviously, this algorithm is neither complete nor optimal. The time complexity is determined by either usually a timeout, so we search for a certain time, or once we get actually stuck in a local maximum. The space complexity is O to the power of B, so it actually depends on the branching factor in the search space, because we have to keep the current state and simply the neighbors. We do not keep any history of what we've actually done. Hill climbing is in particular very well suited to work on search spaces where we actually search in the solution space. So when you think of the simple cable wiring scenario, we know that any potential permutation of the cable ends is a potential solution. So we can actually search over the space of permutations. So we start with some arbitrary initial permutation, evaluate if it's a valid solution that satisfies all given constraints. We can apply a cost function to determine how good this permutation is. And then we can somehow make a swap and change the order of some cable ends, and then evaluate if we find a better solution. In general, large search spaces have certain structures. We see this illustrated on slide 7. So we have these huge numbers of states, and we, for example, find a local maxima. So once we, for example, do this steepest ascent search, so and we encounter a node in a search space where all neighbors only have a worse evaluation. Somewhere in the search space there might be a global maximum, and we can also have more than one. But of course, with our search algorithm, we will only be able to find it if we just by chance somehow climb up a path towards this global maximum. However, we will not know if this is really a global best value. We just see that this is the best value that we find on this particular part of the search space. We also encounter something that is called shoulders or plateaus. So it actually happens quite often that our algorithm enters a region in the search space where all nodes have the same evaluation. So this makes it extremely difficult for these algorithms to somehow decide how to proceed, because all nodes somehow look equal. we can also find something like a flat local maximum. So we have a plateau where actually all nodes are similar, and there is no further improvement that can be made. So local maxima and minima trap the algorithms in state with suboptimal solutions. So once we are in such a node, all successes have poorer evaluations. And here in this slide 8, you see some animations of the landscape of search spaces. Plateaus unfortunately cause an algorithm to wander around without any directions. All nodes have equally good evaluations, so we have to make some random choice, and this also means we somehow get stuck. The plateau effect actually is also well known in other areas, and the challenge here is really to look for a technique that helps us to escape a plateau. So we are somehow at the level of certain quality, and we need to find a way out to increase our chance to find a better solution. On slide 10, we see an illustration of so-called ridges in a search space. So ridges are a sequence of local maxima that are not directly connected to each other. So you are with the search algorithm on a local maximum, and on each of these on such a local maximum, we know that all nodes have a poorer evaluation, so the algorithm either stops there, or it can, for example, then with some random technique jump a little bit to the neighborhood where it actually finds a node with a worse evaluation. But if it started to climb up again, it would again find another local maxima with the same evaluation. So you can imagine this similar to a mountain, where we have a pass on a ridge, and all nodes on this ridge more or less have same height. And it's very, very difficult and takes a very long time to actually find a better evaluated node. So on slide 11, I talk a little bit about some potential escape techniques. So one possibility is to do a so-called taboo search. So we invest into some memory that allows the local search algorithm to remember certain moves. And we keep a list of so-called forbidden states, which we have to visit, which we visited before, and where we don't want to go again. We try to avoid moves that lead to previously explored regions of the search space. For example, in short-term memory, we would never go back to a node where we've been before. So imagine you are on a big plateau. All nodes have equal evaluation. So you have a current node, now you have all these neighbors, you pick an arbitrary neighbor, the evaluation doesn't get better, but now you have to decide where you actually go from this neighbor. It could happen that you actually go back to the node that you visited before, because it's a neighbor of the successor node, and again, all nodes have equal evaluation. This would, of course, be a stupid move. And as we might also end up in a loop where we all the time move between just two successor nodes. So that's why we want to, for example, add a short-term memory and at least remember the last state that we have visited. So we invest a limited amount of memory here, and we update this list based on certain techniques while the search progresses. The other technique that can be applied is a random restart. So we start in the initial state that we construct in some form, either because it's given to us explicitly, or we start, for example, to construct a first solution that we can randomly put together. So now we use hill climbing to search from this state. We will, after some time, either run into a timeout, or we will find a local maximum. So now we can stop and just take the solution we found, or we can actually completely start over. So we take another randomly generated initial state, and now we actually perform many hill climbing searches. So we construct, for example, these solution candidates for the cable wiring problem and run hill climbing maybe 100 times and then pick the best solution that all these different hill climbing searches have found. Theoretically, this would even be a complete search strategy, because eventually it will generate also the goal state with the optimal costs as an initial state. However, you can imagine that in practice, it will not really be complete or not guarantee us to find the optimal solution to a problem, because it would require the algorithm to have unlimited resources. Furthermore, we can do something like a random walk. We inject so-called noise and then simply jump to a node in the neighborhood of our current node with some arbitrary selection strategy. So the success of escape strategies really depends a lot also on the problem we look at and on the structure of the search space. If we have few local maxima and plateaus, then we know that random restart hill climbing finds good solution very quickly. Unfortunately, most difficult and NP-hard problems have an exponential number of local maxima. So when you're actually in a local maximum and you look deeper into the structure of the search space, then you find actually a lot of local maxima in around such a tip. So as I said already in the beginning, searching the solution space is actually a very good idea for these type of algorithms. So in many applications, we do not care about the path to the solution. For example, if we look at the 8 queens problem, we are only interested in a correct placement of 8 queens on a chessboard such that the 8 queens cannot attack each other. How we constructed the solution doesn't really matter. In the cable tree wiring problem, we look for robust and fast insertion order for all cable ends. In the vacuum world, where we have our little vacuum cleaner, we need a plan that cleans all rooms. How we constructed this plan does not really matter to us. So this means actually starting with some randomly generated and maybe partial solution is a good idea. And then we try to improve the solution. So we take a solution node, we generate its neighbors if they have better evaluations, but we do not keep any information about the search path. So let's look a little bit into examples how we can actually do this. Slide 14, we look at the hill climbing algorithm working on the 8 queens problem. So our state is now a distribution of all 8 queens on the chessboard. Our criterion for a valid solution is that none of the queens can attack each other. And if you remember how queens can move on the chessboard, then you immediately know that never two queens can be in the same column, because then they could actually attack each other. So we have to distribute the queens definitely in different columns. And in this chessboard, we have 8 columns. You can see this here in the picture. And we would randomly place the queens one each column. So, of course, such a random placement would mean that certain pairs of queens can attack to each other. We can use this as our evaluation function H. A move in the search space now means that we select a column and we move this queen in this column to another square in the same column. So we essentially move queens up and down. And we try again compute the pairs of attacking queens. So by this strategy, we generate a number of successors, and for each successor, we then can compute its evaluation. So in this example depicted here, currently we have 17 pairs of queens that attack each other. Now randomly moving queens along their columns generates a number of successors, and the best successors have an evaluation of 12. So now hill climbing would choose randomly among these best successors. Let's look into another hill climbing strategy on slide 15. So instead of simply comparing the number of conflicting queen pairs, we can also make a more intelligent selection of the successor nodes and the potential moves. So we pick a column and then we move the queen to the square with the fewest conflicts. So let's look at the example here. So in the left, our choice is the left the rightmost column. And we want to find out where we can move the queen located in the lower right cell. So let's look at conflict. So this queen has definitely a conflict with the queen in the middle of the chessboard. This is depicted by the red line. So these two queens can attack each other. So it's obvious that we need to move our queen in the rightmost column to another position to obtain a solution to the problem. So now we actually look at all its potential next locations in the same column. And for each position, we calculate the number of conflicts. So if we move it one field up, it has a conflict with the queen in the same row, and it has a conflict with the queen in the second right column, which is diagonally located next to each. So this makes two conflicts. If we move it to the field two positions further up, then we have one conflict to this queen in the second column. Then you see the evaluations of these other positions, and you see that we actually have two positions that only lead to one conflict. So we randomly now decide to pick one of these possible positions. So in the middle of this picture, you see that we picked the uppermost best position in this rightmost column. So here again, we have this one conflict, and now we have to somehow decide to work on another queen to minimize the conflicts. So for example, if we now evaluate the conflicts of this queen in the third column, we actually see that there is one field where we can move it, namely to the lowest row on the chessboard, where it has no conflict. So this actually takes us now closer to a potential solution of the problem. Once all columns have shown no conflicts, our search can stop. Slide 16 discusses a local minimum in the eight queens problem. So you see here a situation in depicted on the chessboard where we have one conflict left, but unfortunately no possible move can decrease the evaluation for this queen. So in this situation, hill climbing would get stuck. It cannot find a solution, and because whatever it could do in this situation, it cannot resolve the last remaining conflict. So when you do experiments with hill climbing on the 8 Queens problem, you find very quickly that it will get stuck on 86% of all problems, and it can only solve 14 problems. So a simple hill climbing algorithm would not really help. However, using random restarts and random walks on the 8 Queens problems can dramatically improve the success of hill climbing on this problem. So we know that the standard hill climbing algorithm has a success rate of 14%. So now take 1 divided by 0.14, and we see that we need approximately 7 restarts to actually solve an instance of the 8 Queens problem. So we will fail 6 times, but one time we will very likely succeed. And with about 7 restarts, we can actually solve very large 8 Queens problems. We can even enlarge our chessboard, and up to 3 million queens, we can find a solution under 1 minute with a clever random restart strategy. We can also do some random walks. So we add, for example, up to 100 sideway moves to the 8 Queens problem. This means, for example, that hill climbing can actually solve 94% of all instances. So we allow the algorithm not only to iterate a few times with some random restarts, but we also allow it to sometimes pick a node where actually the evaluation of the conflicts for the queens is getting worse. So in this way, we try to actually escape local maxima. So this means also with these two techniques that on average hill climbing will require 21 steps until it finds a solution. If it ends up in a strategy where it cannot find a solution, then it will take 64 steps. So the lesson to take away here is that successful local search algorithms require us to combine some elements of randomness with a strategy to follow the heuristic. So the algorithms combine so-called exploration, where they simply do something they haven't tried before and which would be even discouraged by the heuristic, with phases where they systematically follow the heuristic evaluation of the node and exploit areas in the search space where the heuristic values of the nodes are getting better. This is a fundamental principle that we will also see in other algorithms in this lecture. With this, let me end this first podcast for the lecture on local and stochastic search.